Welcome, welcome to Coaches on a Mission. I'm your host, Dallas Travers, and I really want to thank you for being here. This show is meticulously designed to help you learn marketing strategies and mindset tools so that you can build a coaching business you are truly proud of. We do that through coaching conversations, and today's episode is such a rich and honest one. My guest is Matt Winters, who recently changed his niche away from helping gay men go from feeling stuck and lonely to having the authentic connections they want in all areas of life. Now, Matt plans to leverage a career full of experience to help leaders relate to people as humans instead of as simply resources. So Matt came to the conversation today feeling conflicted and a little murky. Was he taking the easy road and neglecting truly meaningful work with this niche switch? What does it say about him if he abandons a community of people he really cares about? And is he even sure that his new niche is a viable one? With so many questions muddying the waters, Matt just felt stuck. So the two of us started out by just questioning the idea that if you are indeed values-driven, every aspect of your work has got to be filled to the brim with purpose. From there, we explored Matt's new niche and addressed each fear he had around it. Then we wrapped things up by identifying three clear steps that Matt can take to complete some market research and start bringing in new clients. Matt showed up with so much authenticity and care throughout this episode. You're going to hear it right away. And as coaches, there's nothing better than working with an open-hearted, truly coachable client, which was 100% Matt. By the end of our conversation, I think we both felt pretty grounded and clear about how purpose and meaning show up everywhere when you are a person who cares about purpose and meaning. Okay, I think I've set the stage enough for now. Let's take a listen. Matt, we did it. I have to fill our listeners in even before I ask you what you want to get out of this. I can't remember. It's either four, maybe it's three times we had to reschedule. Then the tech was not working today. So here we are on a totally different platform. But I just want to applaud both of us for making it happen. And thank Yay. You so much for being here today.
Oh, my pleasure. And thank you, Dallas, so much for making this time. Just really appreciate your space and attention here.
It's my pleasure. So, what is it that you would like to take away from our conversation today?
Yeah. From our conversation, I would like to take away more clarity about the niche that I am focused on right now and what the next steps are for me. Challenge for me has been, I started with a niche where I was focusing on gay men. That dream client power statement was, I help gay men go from feeling stuck and lonely to having the authentic connections they want in all areas of life. And in the last few months, I've pivoted to a more corporate-leaning direction. And the current version of that is, I help leaders manage their emotions so they can make better decisions and have more positive impact in their teams, organizations, and communities. I feel some guilt around having switched niches out of, maybe it was a fear-based decision that like, oh, that won't be lucrative enough. Just focusing on gay men. I need to do something that's could be more, have greater income potential. So I feel some guilt around that. And I also realize that I have a lot to offer that audience. So
So
I'd really like to let go of the negative feelings, the guilt and sadness around that and have greater focus. And yeah, I think I'll start there. That's enough.
Okay,
that's enough to start with. Yeah.
Let me reflect what I'm hearing. I'm hearing that you may motivation for the decision aside for a moment, you made a very clear decision to adjust your niche. And that decision, is this accurate, Matt, that it feels like the correct next move for you, but there's some guilt, there's some questioning, there's some friction. So I'm going to ask it in a much more clear way. I'm really trying to meet you where you're at here, and I want to not ask a leading question. Is the issue here your feelings around the niche change, or is the issue here your question around which niche is the right one?
I think my feelings probably led that decision. So that's, I think it does need to be addressed at that level. There also might be something that, like, I'm lacking a seasoned perspective around, well, could that niche work? So maybe there's some mentoring I need around that. But, like, mm-hmm. there's definitely something going on at the feeling level, which I think is showing up in the decision level.
Got it. All right. I feel inspired to tell you a story. I'm going to tell you a story about a guy I used to know. I'll call him Barney. Barney was so clear that his purpose on the planet was basketball. He always had a basketball in his hand from the time he was old enough to hold a ball. He played in college. He actually played professionally in Europe. And then Barney, I don't know if it was an injury, I'm not exactly sure, but Barney could no longer play basketball professionally. And when I met Barney, Barney had designed his entire life to give him the freedom to live basketball, even though that was not the way he made money. Barney's a little bit like Chandler on Friends. I couldn't tell you how he makes money exactly, but I know he had like one client and it was maybe the state of Michigan or something. I don't know what he did for this state, but he worked a few hours every day. He had enough income to lead the lifestyle he wanted. He had season tickets to the Lakers and the Clippers. He coached a rec boys basketball team. He himself played on at least a couple of other rec leagues. He was all basketball all the time. And he understood that if his life was going to be purposeful, he needed to let go of the idea that his work had to be his purpose. And instead, he let his work feed his purpose. There was something you said in your prep work for this session today that I think a lot of values-driven coaches can get conflicted around. And it's this belief that our work has to always be purposeful or meaningful or our calling, or we're somehow doing it wrong. I'm laughing inside of myself because if Barney ever heard me call him Barney as his pseudonym, there would be hell to pay. But anyhow, what are your thoughts about
my first image was of a giant purple dinosaur, but I will not hold that against you or him. Yeah, I was like smiling and laughing because I don't know if you are familiar with the Enneagram or use that at all, but like, yeah, I mean, I'm a classic type one. So that, like, yes, purposeful. It should be, you know, I should be aligned in everything that I do. And that was not the case in the work I was doing in the tech industry before the pandemic. And that was part of what got me out of that and into coaching. So yeah, I'm taking that in. I've been very exacting and very demanding on myself in that way. And I don't think it's serving me.
So if there was a world where the way you made your money or even the people that you coached didn't have to be the aligned with your purpose, but instead were a vehicle to feed your purpose, how, if at all, might that affect the way you are relating to this niche change?
Yeah. Well, a few months ago, I had a work project. I was a coach and facilitator in a leadership development program at a major tech company. And it certainly wasn't focused on gay men. And it felt like meaningful work to me, that what I was doing was contributing, that I was supporting people to become more human-centered leaders, to be more empathetic, to like handle difficult conversations with more skill. And that's absolutely aligned for me. This brings up something I said when I introduced myself to that room of 70 people at that program was I'm passionate about the topics of psychological safety and belonging.
Yeah.
And I've worked at companies that didn't support those things. And I know very well what the human cost of that can be. And part of the reason I decided to become a coach is that I don't want anyone else to have the same experiences that I did.
Mm-hmm.
And someone came up to me at the next break and said, how do I sign up? And I said, for what? And he said,
for what?
Coaching. I was like, and he said, yeah, human-centered leadership, you're aligned. And he made this gesture. And I was like, wow, okay, something I just said resonated. So there's, I think maybe there's another, there's something here that's also very important to me. And I'm gonna pause there.
Oh my gosh. So here's what came up for me as I listened to that. Inside the Hive, when someone asks me about niching, I will often talk about this distinction between a deep niche and a narrow niche, right? And narrow is that alliteration is just so wonderful, right? Narrow your niche. So people have really latched onto that. It's usually what's taught. And sometimes a narrow niche relies on surface level details, like the label someone carries,
mm-hmm.
right? Their occupation, their place in the world. A deep niche instead dives into the shared, the connective tissue in the lived experience of the people that you serve. So the prior niche around really serving gay men, one could argue, like that's a, let's be really clear, what meaningful work, what important work, that could also fit more accurately into the category of a narrow niche, where human-centered leadership, right? That is not nearly as narrow, but it sure is deep. So I guess what I'm sharing here, and I heard you communicate it, the changing of this niche is still aligned and purposeful. It's just, I don't want to say deeper, right? But it ticks all of the boxes for the requirements of a deep niche. And it actually, from where I stand, doesn't mean you're abandoning anyone. It allows you to take the next step forward in your business.
Something I think would help me is to refine this deep niche so that it feels, so that I can feel it when I say it. Right now, like I feel something, but it's not a, yeah, that's coming from deep within. I don't have that connection to it yet. And that's part of, it's been a challenge to write things, to communications to support that. So I think maybe that's where this is, part is coming from.
Okay. So the friction, perhaps, I'm going to make sure I understand. Perhaps here the friction is less about, oh, am I making the wrong decision or am I abandoning my purpose? And more about, ooh, I need to take this a little bit further or get a little more clear so that I can market in an aligned way.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because I had tried some messaging already, some direct communications, and I've really kind of watered it down to, okay, what do I think is going to be palatable or at least not the unpalatable? So, ooh, can't tell people like, oh gosh, oh, hey, Susie or Karen, like you don't manage your emotions well, you should talk to this guy. So then what do I, what do I say? So then how do I, that's another thing here. Or human-centered leadership, like, oh, hey, Jimmy, you're not very human-centered, you should talk to this guy.
Totally, especially because you mentioned before we hit record that you have begun the client surge process, which relies heavily on referral marketing. And this is something we talk about in the course. Like if I'm a confidence coach, right? And I want to ask people to identify the people they know who aren't confident enough, that's not going to go well for anybody, right? Okay. Can you talk a little bit more? Let's just pretend it's the two of us. No one's ever going to hear this conversation. If you were allowed to communicate this human-centered, the way you work with folks, in the most meaningful way for you today without any pressure for it to be palatable, how would you describe that work to me? Just give yourself permission to talk here for a bit.
Okay. I'm not worried about it being palatable. I'd love for there to be more leaders in the world who don't treat people like shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Pardon my swearing. What if all leaders related to people as human beings, not as just means to an end, not as just resources, like, oh, I've got 20 resources on that project. What is that? Like 20 widgets in animals in boxes on, like, there's just, yeah, some more humanity, more human. I would love to support workplaces being more human.
So if you think about your dreamiest dream client, the kind of leader, I'm going to give our listeners just a little bit of context first, if that's okay. Awareness ladder. I talk about it a lot, right? But basically at the bottom of the awareness ladder is the pain aware or the unaware person. Then in the middle, there's this problem aware person. At the top is a solution aware person. It's the solution aware person who's actually ready for coaching and willing to do the work to be successful for coaching. So our marketing helps people climb that ladder. But when you think about your dream client who's sitting at the top of that awareness ladder, what are some of the core beliefs that they hold?
I think there might be a belief in this. I need to do more research on this. There might be a belief that to be an effective leader, to be a successful leader, I have to be hard. I have to be firm. I have to do things in a certain way. I'm not sure. Maybe there's a question of like, can I really be myself and an effective leader?
I'm going to jump in here because if we think about that awareness ladder, I'll give you an example. So my husband and I work really hard to be the best possible parents we can be. And I think all in all, we do a pretty good job. This year, we hired a parenting coach. Why? Because we are so high up on that awareness ladder, right? We know that there's always more to learn and there's always more to do. And I want to upgrade my operating system as my daughter continues to grow. There's all of these reasons, right? But what we believe at the top of that ladder is that we are doing well and there's more that we don't know and we want to learn that. So I don't think that a leader who would be your dream client would actually believe they have to be hard or firm. I think they would be a little bit further along on that journey and start to question whether or not their hard and firm approach is actually the best approach. That's why I asked about the ladder, right? I just wonder, someone who hears human-centered leadership, like they're already asking those questions. They may not be totally bought in, but I think they've moved beyond this is just business and I got to protect the bottom line. Like they are now aware that that is not everything. Does that feel accurate for you?
It does. It does. And this is where I wish I had 20 research conversations to draw from and, you know, could sketch that whole picture out for you. But that does make sense that somebody would have already given this some thought. They probably already had some kind of leadership development training. Mm-hmm. Maybe their organization offered it. Maybe they read some books. Maybe they had a coach at some point.
Yes.
Yeah. So you're asking about core beliefs, these like things that they think about, like beliefs that they hold that have them interested in coaching.
Is exactly. That okay. Or that reveal that they're ready for this kind of work. And let me tell you why I'm asking. You notice that there's a part of you that worries this kind of coaching is not palatable. How are you going to get someone to refer their asshole leader friend for coaching, right? But I think their asshole leader friend is not actually a candidate quite yet for your kind of coaching. Yeah. So now if you're thinking about referral marketing, I'm going to send you a referral to my friend who's a leader in an organization who's starting to evolve, who's talking about the struggles the team is having and how they want to help people get along more instead of widgets moving faster. So therefore, the case I think I'm trying to make here is it's a palatable message to the ready audience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Maybe someone wants to create a better environment, a more positive environment, and they're not sure how. They're not sure how they need to be. They're not sure what they need to do. They're not sure how to communicate.
They sat in on a workshop with you with 70 other people in the room, and something woke up inside of them and they want to take it further.
Yeah. Maybe they got a survey. Their team got a survey. And the area that came up the weakest was psychological safety. And they're
yes.
like, what do I don't know. I'm not,
what is that?
Am I not seeing? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So I'm seeing a little more clearly who I might be pointing towards.
Did you know that we've got transcripts available for this and many other Coaches on a Mission episodes? What a perfect way to take what you're learning and turn it into an actionable workshop that you can apply in your own coaching business. You can get free access to the Coaches on a Mission episode transcripts inside the Pod Squad, where we also deliver curated lists of the best episodes to binge in order to solve all sorts of problems. So if you like this show, you've got to join the Pod Squad and get access to the transcripts and playlists. You can do that now at dallastravers.com/squad.
And then part of my mind goes to like, okay, what's the next action I need to do this? And I don't know if it's too early for that.
Oh, it's never too early for an action list. Have we met? Oh. Okay, so I want to just narrate what I'm observing. Number one, this niche evolution is actually aligned for you. It is purposeful. You really care about leaders not treating people like shit, to use your words. That's purposeful. It also connects very directly to the experience that you've had in the workforce. So that feels very clear to me. And it doesn't mean you're abandoning your work with gay men. But maybe right now the work that you do mentoring gay men happens in the incredible volunteer work that you're doing, right? Then we realized, okay, we don't have to make the message palatable. It's understanding who the message is for. Who is the ready person? And now you're asking, okay, so what's the action step? I wonder, and I'd love to know your thoughts, but I wonder if it's some spark interviews, some conversations with ready leaders. Mm.
Yeah. So I'm wondering how to define that or how to qualify that, or how to filter for someone who is ready.
Yes.
Yeah.
I want to relieve a little bit of that pressure because I will tell you, Matt, some of my most illuminating spark interviews are with people who are not ready. Their answers are so helpful for me, right? Because I can tell in the conversation, oh, they are not my dream client. So I got to really pay attention because they're showing me what my message should not be.
Well, I have one scheduled. I actually do have one on the books. I sent out some requests. So yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
Matt, I don't know if this is even possible, but I just wonder, the organization where you went and spoke, is there a way that you could ask them to put an announcement out? Or is there a way for you to do some market research with some of the people who were in that room? Because they're a little bit more familiar with the work that you do and your message. So there's a bit of a filter there.
Yeah. I mean, I would love to talk to a bunch of people in that room. It's a little tricky. It might be tricky because that work was through an agency. I was hired by an agency, and I think any communication would probably need to be at least approved by them. And I don't know that they would be on board for this.
Yeah.
Like, oh, Matt, you want to cultivate your private clients outside of work you do for us, and you want to do this for research? Like, how does this benefit us? I don't know. So
totally. Yeah.
Doesn't mean not possible. And maybe there's people in probably lots of other organizations that I know who might be open to talking with me too.
Yeah. So if we came up with a getting started action plan around some market research, what might that look like for you?
It could look like identifying people to start talking to, people already in my network who work in organizations of some size, maybe medium or large. Maybe it's not a spark. Maybe I start by like asking them who to talk to. I don't know. I'm kind of drawing a blank.
Okay.
Do I just like start by asking for the research interviews, or try to get a little bit more of a picture to help me define who I want to ask?
Well, I don't know how this is going to land for you, but what I just jotted down was, I wonder if he could use client search for this, because you're already, the wheels have begun moving for client search.
Yeah.
And with client search, we bring candidates, right, in for a sales call. Those sales calls sure look and smell a lot like market research.
Hmm.
So I wonder, is there a world where you could stay on the client search path and use that as the opportunity to get more clear on the language and to identify who's a fit and who's not a fit?
That sounds great.
Yeah, then we don't have to start over anywhere.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been getting hung up on, as I often do, on the details of like how I write the ask and like trying to describe what I do and, you know, what I'm offering in these sessions. That's something I can work out.
Well, let me reflect what I heard you say, because I feel like you said the pitch to me in today's conversation. So I'm imagining your referral request, right? Wouldn't the world be a better place if all leaders related to people as humans rather than resources? That is the work I'm committed to doing. So if you know a leader who is somewhere on the path toward being truly human-centered, please invite them in to a conversation with me.
I really felt it when you said that. That resonates with me.
Matt, those are your words. I wrote them down. Yeah. Yeah.
My whole system relaxes a bit when I, kind of rest in this. Doesn't have to be that hard.
Mm.
I think another challenge in this for me is an unhelpful belief in there somewhere that like, this is hard. This has to be difficult and painful at every step. And it feels ridiculous for me to say that, but like that's in there somewhere. So it doesn't necessarily have to be.
It doesn't. And boy, when the work matters, right? And when it's meaningful, right? Being on a mission to help all leaders treat people as humans instead of resources, that's really important. Of course, it's easy to assume that important equals hard. I'm going to tell you another story. I'm in storytelling mode today.
I love stories.
Great. So my daughter, when she was born, I had her at home. I really wanted to have a home birth. And when I tell people that, they kind of can't believe it. And I will tell you that it was the most incredible experience of my life without comparison. And you know what? It was not painful. So let me tell you why it wasn't painful. I read a book. The Mindful Pregnancy, maybe, is the title. It's yellow. The book cover is yellow. And there was just this section in there where they talked about how a lot of people, when they prepare to give birth, they prepare for the pain. And they also, with contractions, like they start and they're about 7 minutes apart and then they get closer and closer together. So those minutes between the intense moments, a lot of pregnant people are just kind of bracing themselves for the next painful part. But our bodies have so many bliss hormones running through our system that if we can grab on to one of those bliss hormones, they can carry us through the painful parts. So I'm not going to lie to you, it was intense. But honestly, Matt, I was high as a kite. And non-medicated, truly. And I remember at one point even yelling to my husband, I was like, Andrew, you got to try this. Like, I was really completely blissed out. And it's because I consciously decided on a different expectation. And the expectation of everywhere else was, right, it's hard, it's really painful, but it's all of these things. And I just decided to relate to it differently. One could argue that giving birth is a very purposeful and important act, right? And we can relate to it how we choose, right? So I wonder if you were allowed to relate to your work and to your progress and the building of a business in any way you wanted, how would you choose to relate to it?
More like a dance, more like a dance, an interactive story, like a live action role-playing game, something that's like generative and interactive and positive that builds, like there's mystery and it evolves. Like, I don't know, I'm just kind of riffing here. Any of those things.
I can feel that. I just wrote down the word participation, where like suddenly the success metric becomes whether or not you stay on the dance floor. So as long as you're on the dance floor, you're doing the thing. And the thing can become something totally different. But you leave the dance floor and the music stops.
Yeah, that's a big shift here for me, is orienting away from focusing on the things that I'm writing and sending and the lists to the process and like keeping awareness of the process that I'm in. Yeah. And not stressing out so much about all the things. Yes, things need to get done, but yeah, being in flow with it is a big challenge in so many other areas of my life. I'm smiling, just seeing how this is also in my business.
Yeah. Yeah. Welcome to the human experience. So if there was just a small way that you could deepen your awareness around like when you're dancing and when you're not in your business specifically, what could that practice or that awareness look like for you?
Some kind of check-in. Whenever I sit down to work to nurture my business. Yeah. Where am I? Am I dancing? Am I standing off to the side? What has me in this place? How can I, and if I'm not dancing, how can I get back in? How can I invite myself back in and just remember the joy that it's okay for me to be in motion and in this uncertainty of it?
Yes, because the dance is new. Yeah. Whew. How would you feel about adding this on? So a check-in when you're beginning the work, but maybe a check-out and just a quick, I love a good rating scale, right? Where it's just me checking in and I'm not rating how well I did. I'm rating how I feel about the experience, right? So my intention here is to dance more freely. How am I relating today to my relationship to that? And what we're aiming for is for that number to just trend up, understanding that it's not always going to trend up, but overall, that's the arc we want it to take.
Yeah, this feels humane and caring. And yeah, I think it's important for me to treat myself in my business with the same kindness and care that I want to treat others and that I hope others will treat the people in their lives.
Yeah. Human-centered self-leadership here. Yeah. Well, how are you feeling? I feel like we got somewhere today. How are you feeling, Matt?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm feeling more settled than when we started. There's some relaxation in my system, a sense of really being seen and heard. Also, yeah, pretty tender at being seen, you know, this, yeah, vulnerable like this. I'm really grateful. It's just lovely to yeah, to be in your presence, and you're just so warm and caring. And I just appreciate all your wisdom and care in this. So yeah, a lot of gratitude as well.
Oh, well, I'm grateful that you came today. Thank you for that. Okay, so we have some next steps. One is to use Client Surge. You've begun that process. Use Client Surge to also do some market research. You can refer back to the recording here. I think we pretty much wrote your referral language in our conversation. And then as a practice, really checking in and checking out with yourself to practice that human-centered leadership in your own business. And the goal here is to just create a permission structure where you're dancing and letting the process and the work and the marketing be generative instead of a boulder where you're pushing up a hill. Find those bliss, ride the bliss wave, right? Matt, thanks for coming on the show. It was great to have you here.
Thanks so much for having me, Dallas.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
I'm Dallas Travers, and this is Coaches on a Mission. I want to thank you so much for tuning into the show. If you don't already follow the show, please do that now by hitting the subscribe or follow button. And if there's a coach in your life who you care about, share this episode with them. I have a feeling they'll thank you for it. So if you enjoyed what you heard and you want to take things further, you can do that really easily. So we've got over 200 episodes here for you to enjoy. Plus, you can access transcripts and curated playlists when you join the Pod Squad. Join us now for free at dallastravers.com/squad. Thanks again for tuning in.